Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, and this is Beta. Christine Ligorio Chafkin grew up on a sheep farm in rural Wisconsin. Now she lives in New York City and works as a journalist. Christine has covered culture and new technologies for 15 years. She's the author of a book called We Are the Nerds, The Birth and Tumultuous Life of Reddit, the Internet's Culture Laboratory. So let's start with the obvious question. What is Reddit?
Reddit is kind of the sprawling universe of communities online for just about everything under the sun. There are 140,000 of them.
Wow.
And, you know, it's everything from a massive community for women called 2X chromosomes to stop smoking communities. There's humor. There's talk about movies and video games. And every sports team that's ever existed has a subreddit. It's the fifth most popular site on the American internet. And people type into it more than 50,000 words every minute.
So how come we don't hear as much about it as we do about Facebook and Twitter?
It's home to all these beautiful, shiny communities and tons of kind of charities and good-hearted work, but it's also got a dark side to it. You know, Reddit, where Facebook and Twitter don't, Reddit does host pornography and has all sorts of conspiracy theory communities. It's got a lot of political discussion and a lot of ultra-conservative political discussion. So there are dark corners to the site in the way that you might not encounter those sorts of things if you just visit Facebook to look at your friends' stuff or Twitter.
Yeah. And the people who use Reddit, it's very user-friendly and because the subreddits that you mentioned, those are posts that are organized by subject into these user-created boards, right, which are kind of like sub-websites within websites.
Exactly. You put that very well. The communities sort of organize themselves. And Reddit's neat because anyone can create any community they want. And that has led to the proliferation of subreddits for just about everything under the sun. So Reddit's not always easy to use, right? It's not always super straightforward.
Yeah.
I do think they've made strides lately in making ways to interact with this site. And so therefore, Reddit of today looks a lot more beautiful. It looks a lot more like Facebook than, say, it did a year ago when it just simply looked like a list of links straight out of 2005.
Yeah, exactly. And can you just talk briefly about upvotes? Because that's what determines how things get posts get promoted to the front page, right? How they make their way up in the hierarchy.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, any user who comes to the website can upvote or downvote, click up or down on any single post. Now, an upvote is not the same as a Facebook like. It is not endorsing the viewpoint of the content. It's simply saying this is important. So by giving Redditors, the name Reddit calls its users, power to determine what rises up on a page or what sinks down and is buried and other people won't see, it basically democratized the job of, say, editors at a newspaper. That does have so many benefits to the site and a couple of downsides, but one thing that Reddit learned and kind of taught the rest of the internet over that next decade was that the voice of simply an endorsement is from a community member is very valuable. One very funny thing that Redditors will appreciate, I think, is that the original coder of the site, Steve Huffman, also wrote in a little hack to that, which is if a comment got a negative 100 or more downvotes, it would reappear because you know it was just so bad that it might be worth seeing.
Oh,
again.
Yeah. That's funny, yeah. So let's rewind back to 2005. Yeah. Reddit co-founder Steve Huffman and Alexis Ohanian, who you had exclusive access to, they spoke to you exclusively for this book. They have this idea for a business, but the business is not Reddit. What was their business idea?
Oh, gosh, their original business idea was hilarious. It was basically proto-seamless web or any kind of food ordering app that you might use on your phone. But back in 2005, apps did not exist. So they had no way of actually creating a way to get your phone to simply give an order to the restaurant and get that food back to you. They brought their idea to a man named Paul Graham, who had subsequently become very famous for founding Y Combinator, which is the Silicon Valley incubator that is, you know, more exclusive to get into than Harvard nowadays, and is one of the building blocks of sort of modern Silicon Valley as we know it. They pitched it to Paul before he'd, you know, become known for this stuff. He was simply a prolific essayist and a programmer who had founded and sold a company of his own. And he was looking to start an incubator, and he sat down with them and he said, "Guys, your idea for a mobile food startup is terribly misguided. It's way before its time." The company they wanted to found was called My Mobile Menu, which they abbreviated as
Yeah, which is good. That's good.
So he said no to and said, well, let's think of something else that you can do. And he said, what if you build only a page where the most popular headlines and posts from around the internet for that day will live? It'll be the front page of the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Steve and Alexis said, sure, let's give that a try. And they settled on the name Reddit after, you know, brainstorming a ton of terrible other names. You know, I talked to Paul Graham within the last couple of years for the purpose of the book, and I asked him, well, when did you start to think that Reddit was a good name? And he said, I never have. I still don't like it. I still don't like their alien mascot, which is funny, but shows that he did give them the room to explore, take his idea and run, and certainly they did that.
Yeah. In 2006, just a year after Reddit's founding, Condé Nast Publications acquired Reddit. Condé Nast, of course, owns many magazines like Wired, The New Yorker, Vanity Fair, and GQ. How did Condé Nast's acquisition of Reddit affect the growth and development of the company and Reddit, the website?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fascinating question and one the book explores at length. It wasn't, you know, it doesn't feel like when you first say it, Condé Nast, you know, it doesn't sound like that should go with Reddit.
No,
Reddit has,
no.
At the time, had its not safe for work community. It had a ton of programmers talking about hacking tips, and it kind of read like a computer science break room at times. But Karosh Karmkani, who had been hired by Condé Nast to acquire some digital properties and kind of breathe some fresh online life into Condé Nast, met with the Reddit founders and thought, wow, this could be perfect. You know, he originally had his eye on sort of more women-friendly publications, but realized that the pairing of Reddit and Wired and Wired.com together could be magic, and with that audience of young men.
Sure.
And, you know, certainly the acquisition itself was great for Reddit. It allowed them to have a little freedom. It allowed them to hire a couple people and gave them the confidence that they could do it. That said, once they were within Condé Nast, they were both insulated from kind of the general market forces and also subject to them in a different way. They were subject to Condé Nast hiring freeze when that happened, when the market downturned. That said, they also sort of had the basic level of funding to just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
They were not, you know, they didn't die in the next dot-com crash at all, and they barely eked by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You say that as Reddit grew, its underbelly also gained girth.
Yes,
what do you mean?
I mean that, so Reddit, you know, we were talking about how it was sort of founded as this place where everybody who visits the site gets to be part of the editorial process and determine what content is popular. So one of the sort of taglines that arose out of that was freedom from the press. And Reddit gained the reputation as being a super free speech haven. And therefore, avid Redditors decided constantly that they were going to try to test the limits of what was free speech, you know, what was okay to post, and therefore entire ecosystems of sort of the darkest stuff that you can imagine, you know, photos of highway crashes, very strange pornography sort of emerged in dark corners, and there were sort of epic trolls who curated those corners, and a lot of them had actual, you know, relationships with Reddit community managers. They were just at once testing the limits and, you know, making new limits. They were saying, oh, well, if we repost people's photos of their children from Facebook at, like, dance competitions, it's pointing out to those people that maybe they shouldn't be posting those photos in the first place. When really, to an unaware observer, that those photos put all together looks a lot like something close to child pornography, right? I mean, there were so many odd questions raised during this time that today the answers look a lot more clear to. But at the time, the community manager, Eric Martin, was put in this position where he was just constantly defending Reddit's free speech ethos. But as Reddit became a massive millions of users community, its policies did not evolve with the kind of swiftness that they should have. And therefore, it became a place that was, you know, soon to be featured on Anderson Cooper 360 for a subreddit called Creep Shots.
Yeah. As you say in your book, Reddit was a place where the crowd decided what was deeply interesting. And to avoid that gatekeeper effect, the people operating the site should be hands-off and let the community be self-organizing. So how as more and more dark and questionable, offensive content appeared on the site, how did the people who worked at Reddit deal with the creation of this content?
Oh, gosh. This was one of the most fascinating areas for me personally to report and to learn about. Community manager sounds like a really friendly job title, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
And this is actually today one of the jobs. I mean, you know, Facebook says it's hiring 7,000 community managers to police its content. But these people are exposed to horrific images every day. They are the people who, when you get sent a photo that you would not like to see and report it to a social network, those people have to look at that image and say, oh, yep, I got to tell that guy not to send that kind of image anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that was fascinating. At that time, the job was a very new thing. They did not have, you know, therapy sessions for community managers built into their business model at the time. So as it evolved, these people were actually kind of making the job as they went along. They were reporting suicide attempts to the FBI. They were reporting bomb threats. They were doing their best to kind of help humans help each other. And yet they were subjected to kind of horrible things every day during their job, making it very, very difficult to make those content decisions.
One of the high points in the history of Reddit, to flip the coin and look at the bright side, the positive achievements, was happened in August 29th, 2012, when President Barack Obama participated in one of Reddit's most popular features, AMA, Ask Me Anything. Can you tell
yes.
me about that?
Oh, absolutely. As happens with many celebrities who get on Reddit and do an AMA, which is just a big, it's kind of become a publicity thing. When the president did that, he only got through about 8 questions, but did break news and did interact genuinely. He typed in his answers himself instead of handing over the computer to one of his assistants, as was what was planned. He was just so comfortable using it. He did it himself.
Do you think there are areas of offensive content that Reddit should consider banning?
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge debate right now, and there has been for most of the past 3 years over whether the community r/theDonald should be allowed to exist on Reddit. And this is a fascinating topic of discussion because the Donald is not simply a support community for Donald Trump, which is what it started out as, but the community developed sort of its own language, its own like mimetic style and means of distributing its content far and wide. And, you know, a lot of that involved brigading other communities and harassing other communities and was a very strange community that kind of gamed Reddit in a way that mm-hmm. no other community had before. You know, Reddit itself has had a very strange relationship with this massive Donald Trump supporting community. Most of them don't like its politics. They don't like its style. They don't like its aggressive tactics. But Reddit CEO Steve Huffman does believe that the intent of the First Amendment was to allow for political speech of any sort. And now this discussion has gotten so complex because sometimes hate speech and political speech can be synonymous.
Yeah.
And while he doesn't want hate speech on the site, he wants to allow a community of Trump supporters, you know, he says, well, you know, they elected him into office. Like, we can't pretend they don't exist, right?
Yeah.
When you know, the more liberal Redditors would say, well, they shouldn't even have a voice. They're just posting bunches, you know, nonsense and harassing other people and making it a bad experience on Reddit. When it comes to politics, there's a lot of work that has to be done. I mean, Huffman and the rest of his team has banned the alt-right and many related communities. But when it comes to the Donald, they are still having a hard time.
How do you think Reddit will evolve in the future?
Yeah, well, I think that depends on how users react to its new redesign and how advertisers continue to respond to it. It's a tricky place to advertise when you could ostensibly have your content show up next to something surprising.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To be on Reddit, you need to be genuine, right? It's mm-hmm. sort of the opposite of the Pinterest and Instagram airbrushed and photoshopped internet. You know, it's a place where people really connect as humans and talk about things like their financial woes or their relationship woes. They get advice from each other. And that's a strange place to stick in an advertiser, right?
Yeah.
Some brands have had success by simply engaging as themselves. And I think that's a behavior that Reddit really wants to encourage. They want media sites and brands and folks, you know, little shops and entrepreneurs to go on and say, hey, here I am. I'll have a discussion about that thing I make or that thing I did. They want everyone to be doing AMAs and be their real, genuine selves on their site. You know, of course, they would rather have, you know, when Elon Musk sends up a rocket, they'd rather have Elon himself posting a picture straight to Reddit than someone reposting his tweet to Reddit.
Christine Ligorio-Chafkin is the author of We Are the Nerds, The Birth and Tumultuous Life of Reddit, the Internet's Culture Laboratory. You can find out more about Christine at wpr.org/beta. And you can create a subreddit for us. Let us know if you did by sending an email to beta@wpr.org. That does it for this edition of Beta. If you want to hear it again or binge on past episodes, subscribe to the Beta podcast via iTunes or wherever you catch your favorite pods. You can keep up with us during the week online at wpr.org/beta or on Twitter at @WPRBeta. Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
Fantastic!
Our technical and music director is Steve Gotcher.
Well, Reddit, it's been swell. I really appreciate your time.
Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Now, Doug, just thank the alphas and say who you are. Just thank the alphas and say who you are.
God help you if you use voiceover in your work, my friends. God help you. It's flaccid, sloppy writing.
And thanks to you, our alphas. Until next week, I'm Doug Gordon.